And this is Food Talk Radio. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. I got my apron on.
You do.
Oh, it's a pretty grimy one.
Proof of work.
Yes.
We can appreciate how hard you're
rolling in something.
Before we get started talking about food or whatever nonsense we usually talk about, I would like to make an important announcement for people who may not already know that Sunset Empire Transportation District is suspending all bus rides and bus routes beginning Saturday, April 29th, which was a couple days ago. District offices are closed indefinitely. The district is facing a major budget shortfall and its future is uncertain. This closure does not affect Pacific County Transit or Northwest Point bus routes. The district will hold a public budget committee meeting on Wednesday, May 10th, that's a week from this Wednesday, at 10 in the morning at the Astoria Transit Center, 900 Marine Drive in Astoria. For more information about this meeting or to submit public comment, visit ridethebus.org or call 503-861-5399.
I do believe I'll submit a public comment.
I think we all should. So, yeah. What you been cooking?
Well, let's see. Oh, I've been baking. You know I bake a lot.
Yes.
And I have this 20-quart mixer, which you found used and called me beep, 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 beep. And I'm very, very thankful. So I was making a whole bunch of brioche, but I made a mistake.
Uh-oh.
So because of the size of the mixer and the volume of dough, it makes it a big mistake. And I put 3 times too much vanilla in there. I know. And
I bet it's delicious.
I know. Well, I was worried because that's a volume that you have to like even adjust for flour. You know, I mean,
yes.
I put like a cup and a half in there. Oh, good Lord. Anyway, it's an expensive mistake, too.
Yes,
but
it
yeah,
is.
You're right. I was worried it would be like too pungent or weird, but it was delicious.
I bet it was.
And clearly the reason people don't use that much vanilla is cost.
Yes, absolutely. And now, of course, everyone who gets to eat that brioche is going to wonder where that vanilla is next batch.
Yes. Why is this so delicious?
Or you could just like triple the price and keep adding the vanilla.
I don't know.
Oh, those, you know, those cutting a recipe in half, multiplying a recipe by whatever is, if I don't just sit down with a pen and do the math ahead of time, even though I'm pretty sure I can do it in my head, but of course I never can.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and this was times 18, which is super easy to do in your head.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. But the mistake was, you know, a tablespoon. I just did tablespoons instead of teaspoons. So it was a rookie mistake.
Well,
beepity.
It happens.
Yes.
And you and I are both proof that it happens.
Yes.
On a regular basis, and we're happy to provide that service to everyone.
At least I didn't make that famous mistake of putting in the liquid smoke instead of vanilla.
A cup and a half of that would have been
exciting. Oh, yeah. Really great for the oven. Hey, have you, because I worked at a bakery once, at a restaurant, you know, Street 14.
Yeah.
And they make.
I miss them.
Me too. They make food and baked items, but they had an oven just for baked items, so there would never be meat in there, so there wouldn't be any kind of smell to transfer to the baked goods.
Yeah.
But, I mean, think if you had a cup and a half of liquid smoke in your oven. Man, you would never get that out.
Oh, my God.
Hey, have you ever done anything with skirt steak?
Fajitas.
But, so did you, like, barbecue it or grill it whole and then cut it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I often treat it like flank steak.
Yeah. Okay. I you know what? I've never used it. And I in my head, which is so often wrong, I think of it as tough.
Oh, yeah. But I haven't actually consumed skirt steak that is tough. It is a common menu item in certain kinds of restaurants.
So I'm just wrong. Yeah, I know, like, especially like Mexican restaurants use a lot of skirt steaks.
Yeah.
And I love, you know, everything I have at Mexican restaurants. Yeah.
You know, the magic thing.
The magic M?
Yeah. Marinade.
Marianne Myers. Magic marinade. What you been cooking?
I grilled some asparagus last night.
It's that time of year.
I know. And I did something that I've never bothered to do before because I'm so lazy. I actually blanched them first before I tossed them on
a
grill. And Tom even said, these are, exceptionally good. And I think it was just because I gave them that little, 30-second head start. Yeah.
Jinx.
Yeah, that's right. You owe me a Coke.
Ew.
Well, that's what we used to say.
Yes,
to kids.
I know. Yeah.
So anyway, asparagus all the way around for this for the duration now because it's everywhere.
What did you like about the asparagus? That it was blanched. That it was a little softer.
That it was just right. I mean, I like the grilled because of the little char, the taste. Mm-hmm. Yep. But sometimes if you don't get it on there just exactly the right amount of time, it can be a little tough.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know. I don't mind it if it's a little crisp, but I don't like it if it's tough. And this made it
cremated.
Just so it was tender, and then it got that grilled.
Okay.
Thing. And I've been using this. I have grill plates that fit into my stove,
mm-hmm.
and the element for them went out a while ago. I almost said a long time ago, and then I corrected, but I shouldn't have because it was a long time ago. And so I just been working with the burner plates in there. But I really missed being able to have the grill.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying to Tom, don't pay that, $200 and something for that new. Several months of whining resulted in a new burner.
Yay!
a new element. And so I've been able to grill stuff. And it's nice.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very nice.
Yeah.
Hey, I know you've been making a lot of chicken salad.
Yeah, yeah.
So delicious. And it seems to me springy.
Yeah.
The springy kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you've ever heard of Coronation Chicken Salad.
You know what? That name rings a bell, but it rings a bell so deep in my brain that it is, like that Get Smart TV show. There's too many doors. It is not accessible. What is it?
Well, apparently it's a recipe that the people in charge made up for the coronation of Queen Elizabeth. So it's old.
Oh, really?
It's an old recipe. And a lot about it is kind of 50s. But on the other hand, it's got some elements that I think are pretty cool. And also because it's British, curry.
Oh, yeah.
So it's basically just chicken. However you do it, you can cook it just for the salad, or you can use rotisserie chicken or leftover chicken. But the dressing is half mayo, half sour cream, mango chutney.
Num.
Yeah. Curry powder and dried apricots instead of the grapes, dried apricots.
I love dried apricots.
I know.
I have some.
Well, there you go. Lemon juice, almonds, and cilantro.
Cilantro, so interesting.
Yeah, I think cilantro with the curry and the chutney is probably just a brilliant combination.
It sounds really good. I don't have any mango chutney.
I want to try it. I have mango chutney.
I'm jealous.
I always have it because I serve it on the side often with a roast chicken instead of cranberry sauce or something.
Yeah.
I mean, chicken and chutney. Or anything in chutney. Mango chutney on a really sharp cheddar cheese sandwich. Yeah. Yipes.
So years ago, whenever I would go to the to Portland, I'd always go to Wijmaya, a big Asian market. And I have a neighbor, Lyle, who's in his 90s, but very adventurous, culinarily. And he loves really spicy stuff, too. So he'd always ask me to get him the hot mango chutney. It wasn't hot enough here in the county.
Yeah.
Get the hot stuff. So when I'd get there, they have, a chutney section, mango chutney section.
Yeah.
But they were always different and always from different countries. And there was one, and he wanted the stuff that was hot or extra hot. And there was one, and it said mangda.
Oh.
Which I thought, maybe that's just feminine of mango. But then usually languages, they don't translate their gender when they translate into English,
Right.
But it was, the same font as all the other chutneys kind of, making the letters looking like they're Indian, but they're, you know, our letters. And anyway, so I got one and I got something else and he tried it and he said it kind of tasted like bananas. It wasn't that good. So I got on the internet and I was looking it up and Mangda are these 8-centimeter Thai water beetles.
Oh my God.
And so what I got was water beetle chutney. Oh my God. Poor. And he's such an adventurous eater. He's like, well, I mean, I wouldn't get it again, but it was okay.
Has he asked you to do any shopping for him lately?
No. And then everybody heard about it, of course. And so his nickname now is Beetle Paste.
Oh, my God.
But what a giant mistake, you know? Well, and I had no idea I was making it. It was not intentional.
I have bought some pretty interesting things at Uajamaya because there was no information in English. And yes. I'm not. Not only am I ignorant of the language I'm looking at, I don't even know what country or what mm-hmm. ethnicity that language is. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, it's humiliating. And as a result, my punishment is that I get things that I didn't
truly,
really.
Truly. Not something our tongue recognizes.
No.
Yeah. There years ago I got a jar of something, and there was no English on it anywhere. And it was a paste that you just take a spoonful out and you mix it up and bing, you have tom yum soup, and it was delicious. And then of course either they changed their packaging, no, or it was discontinued. But I was just randomly buying stuff in the same section for a long time after that, and everything was, it's sort of like if you got like Worcester sauce and you just like tried it, you know, it's kind of that kind of thing. Like, yeah. I'm sure it's good for something, but not for this, you know, not for just tasting. So,
I'm thinking about, I did a pretty good job. You know, I was on a crusade there for a while to empty the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
Or not empty it, but just like get a grip on it.
Yeah.
And I've done a pretty good job of that. It's
so
not
off.
Over. I know. Well, you know, it won't last. It's all, I'm only mentioning it because it's so transitory that there will be no reason to mention it later. But one of the things that surfaced was some prawns, frozen prawns.
Ooh.
And I'm just debating about, I'm thinking about making scampi. I'm thinking about making shrimp and grits, but having the shrimp be scampi.
Oh, well, that I think would be more flavorful.
I think maybe.
Anything you can do to add flavor to something.
Yeah. I'm thinking I might do that. I mean, it's, you know, Garlic City. So
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite things that you do on toast? I mean, everybody's doing avocado toast,
yeah.
And there's a reason for that because
it's
fabulous.
Delicious, yeah.
But there's a whole lot of cool stuff to put on toast,
yeah.
Or ways to have toast.
I'm not super creative that way, but I really, if I have company, I'll take a big slice of homemade bread, and then I will thinly, I make, it's not pesto because I don't really want the cheese or the pine nuts in there because I want to be able to afford it. But it's just like mostly basil, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of thyme, and then olive oil, and I it up in the food processor. So I spread some of that on there, but not thickly. And then, oh, come on, Linda. I put some Parmesan cheese, a poached egg, and then truffle oil. And that's really good.
That sounds really
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
What do you put on toast?
A lot of things. But my favorite jam is orange marmalade, and I will have toast and marmalade any old time. Toast
yeah.
and tea.
Yeah.
But I made the green pepper and garlic and tomato. I don't know if we talked
no,
about
talked
it before.
About it last week. Yeah,
salade
yeah.
de piment. And that's really good on a slice of baguette, whether it's toasted or not,
mm-hmm.
Because it's like pesto or anything else that's got a lot of oil in it. It's
mm-hmm.
just perfect
Soaks
for that.
In, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm loving that. I made a boatload of it. And we're putting it on everything.
No, well, there is a thing that I like where I make like a white bean paste. Doesn't that sound delicious? No, I'm just kidding.
It does.
I know, but it's just, white bean paste.
Yeah, I know. It's right up there with what? Beetle paste.
Beetle paste, yeah. But put a lot of rosemary and garlic in it and then put that on the toast and then tomatoes, like a tomato salad, you know, where you put a light vinaigrette on it and then mint.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah, and that's good.
I want to take a quick sec and remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN and North Coast Food Web. And as always, I urge you, sincerely urge you, to go to KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org and rummage around in those really, really informative websites and find a whole bunch of cool stuff.
Rummage.
Go there. Hey, also, Linda, before we get sidetracked on food again, which sometimes we hardly ever do. But before we get sidetracked on anything again, we ought to announce the winners.
Yes, we had a drawing for the people that donated during our show during Pledge Drive. And we're 40 now.
I know, we're 40. Collectively, all of us together, all of us together who own this fabulous community radio station just turned 40.
We're 40.
I'm happy to have turned 40 again.
My hair is turning gray.
Yes, so big thank you to everybody who donated to the 40th birthday spring pledge drive. You all got together and did it. We made our goal and we're really, really, really grateful. And we are selfishly grateful to the teens of people.
I know.
Who contributed on a 29-minute program.
And it
crazy.
Doesn't even make sense because we only have 7 listeners.
I know.
Mean, for sure, like Mike and Diane, they called in twice so they could say something bad about curry.
Yeah.
So I don't know if all of you called in twice, but somehow, yeah, we got more than 7 people donating, which is really, really great. So McLaren from Astoria, she won the cake. And so if you see her around town and she looks like extra rosy, it's because she's a winner.
Yes. Thanks, McLaren. And also Paula from Warrenton won the cookbook from the Milk Street Tuesday Night's Cookbook.
Yay. And she said that that was the one she wanted.
Yeah. So I'm happy about that. She was happy about that.
And Pat and Julie won the Scandinavian cookbook. And when I told them they won before they saw the Scandinavian cookbook, they were worried. But then they really liked the cookbook.
It's a beautiful book.
It really is. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. It's called Scandinavian Comfort Food, which I thought, you know, when I first saw the book, I was like, well, that's an oxymoron, but no, it's not.
I'm up in arms.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, if I do this, does it sound funny?
Oh, it's how we test our stereo speakers.
Oh, sorry. I'm not going to do that anymore. I don't even know why I wanted to do it. Do I even have like a super ego? I mean, is there anything that stops me from doing the stuff that jumps into my head? No is the answer.
No, we all just wait for it to happen. We're all just pleasantly surprised. Hey, when you were talking about... we were talking about marinades briefly, and I have come across a marinade that is, all it is grated tomato.
I have never heard of marinating something in grated tomato.
Well, tomatoes are acidic.
Yeah, and, makes sense.
And the recipe that I saw that in was for one of the components was marinated greens like chard or kale, where you marinate them in grated tomato. You just put them in grated tomato and set them aside for a half hour, and it makes them
now to me
more tender.
It sounds like, I mean, extreme lesson in frustration to grate a tomato, doesn't it?
No.
How would you keep your fingers? The thing is so mushy to do it on a...
Well, you're not... You could use Romas or something. You don't have to use, like, slicing tomatoes or, heaven forbid, heirloom tomatoes, which are all water.
Okay. And they're not as acidic.
Yeah. But I know that in Spain, one of the most classic things at a tapas bar and one of my favorite things in the whole world is pan con tomate, and it is... grated tomato, a slice of baguette, and a grated tomato, salt, pepper, drizzle of olive oil. That's it is.
Like
and
a tomato sandwich.
So
yeah,
delicious.
My mom used to always make those with mayo.
Yeah, there
you
go.
She wasn't even Spanish.
I know. Well, the mayo tells us that.
Yes.
But I thought, well, shoot, I've eaten grated tomatoes a lot and never thought
really?
Of them as a marinade.
No, yeah. I never, ever.
I'm going to try it.
Ever thought of it.
Yeah, I just came across it.
Okay.
And I came across it recently and didn't have any tomatoes. So
oh, yeah.
I had put them all in the salad de piment. So now I have to get some tomatoes and try it. Huh. But it makes sense.
Yeah. But you think like most marinades have like vinegar and that's so strongly acidic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I never heard of it.
But
cool.
If all you're wanting to do is wilt some greens, I mean,
just a little.
Especially
yeah.
chard, which is more tender than
yeah.
kale for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it would work on collards, but.
Nothing does. Nothing does except the better part of a day.
That's so true. I do like collard greens, though.
Oh, see, but I don't. And it's a childhood thing. Whenever my dad killed a bear, he'd get out the bear rendering pot, and we knew that we were going to have horrible meals for like at least a week, and then he'd boil those collard greens, and I just associate him with that boiled bear.
One of the ways that I really loved collard greens when I worked with Uriah at the old Colombian cafe was he would just brush them with I think he would just brush the corner of the grill with olive oil, but maybe he brushed the actual leaf and just toss it on there and let it get toasty like we would normally do with kale chips or something.
Okay.
But it takes longer.
Yeah.
But it's so delicious.
He's such a wizard with vegetables.
I know. I miss him.
Yeah.
I miss the cafe. I miss him. Anyway.
Well, I read something ridiculous.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
However, could you?
That there's a new thing, water sommeliers. Have you heard of them?
Oh, my God,
yeah,
no.
They're like in really fancy places. They're like trained to pair your meal with the correct water.
Uh-huh. So how precious.
Well, and high-end water is becoming a thing. There's sites that sell like, you know, just like you drink a bottle of water. But they have all these waters that are like $8 to $15, but there's lots of them that are more than 100, and then that makes the ones that are 8 to 15 seem reasonable.
You know, we laugh because it is bona fide ridiculously funny, but also, you know, the way things are going climate wise, we might all be paying for water pretty soon. I mean, you know, $8 a bottle for water. Oh my
but
God.
But they're fancy and they talk about mineral content and they talk about the size of the bubbles, which makes sense because like beer has such a small bubble, you know, with the nitro, and then cola has such large bubbles. That makes sense. They're very different bubble wise.
Yeah.
But people are very snobby about their bubbles.
Well, in champagne, always traditionally, you know, the bead is, an indicator of the quality. Anyway, I couldn't agree more with champagne. But seriously, water? Come on.
When I said water, it was fizzy water, not just water.
All
it was
sparkling.
Regular water and sparkling water, both. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When I talked about the bubbles.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. We know that. But, I mean, that is just outrageous.
Yeah.
And that is people with too much money.
Yeah. And,
water
melted off of glaciers. Ooh.
Oh. And that's so sad. I mean, it's so sad. Not that it isn't melting. Of course it's
delicious
melting.
Delicious global warming.
Oh, yeah. I know. People. We need to remind ourselves what is enough.
Yeah.
And if you have enough money to pay for a flight of expensive water, you have enough money to do some good.
That's such a good point. I remember I had a good friend who was pretty wealthy, and this is in the 80s. And so we were out to lunch once at a place that was expensive, and they had a dessert menu, and they had a passion fruit parfait, and it was $50. Now, this is the mid-80s, right? So how long ago was that? 50 years? No.
I don't know.
No, 40 years. I mean, 40 years. A long time, right? So it was a lot more money than it is now. And it was lunch. It wasn't dinner. And he said, you know, I am sure that this is delicious. And and I can buy this. But at some point, things become ridiculous and your money is spent better someplace else.
Yes.
And that's exactly what it is, because it represents your money, represents your time. That's how you earn it.
That's right. It's your life's blood in many ways, because mm-hmm. it takes your life to do it,
yeah.
to accumulate it, unless it was just a windfall gift. Mm-hmm. But seriously, most people work hard for their money. And mm-hmm. Once you have, here's what I think, has nothing to do with cooking. I think if you have enough to eat and a safe place to live and clothes to keep you warm and the necessities, mm-hmm. if you need medicine, you can have it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do without medicine, because you have to choose mm-hmm. between that and food, whatever. If you have enough to be comfortable and there's something left over, then do something worthy with mm-hmm. it. Really, that doesn't mean you can't ever have a vacation mm-hmm. or a pedicure mm-hmm. or some luxury. It doesn't mean that. It means that you shouldn't be having an umpty million dollar flight of fancy waters when there's somebody right outside the door that doesn't have enough to eat.
You know,
it doesn't make sense.
No.
On any level. Mm-mm. I would love to hear the argument for that. I would love to sit down over a glass of wine, not water, and have the discussion with somebody who thinks that's a good idea, besides the people making all the money on it. Mm-hmm. It's offensive to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, really.
And it should be.
Yeah. So, something to do with chicken. What?
Pock.
You know, I know there's a million things out there, but when I start looking through my cookbooks and mm-hmm. website recipes, I'm just like, yes,
I know.
Been there,
chicken
done
can get
that.
Super
been
boring.
There,
you know, I got to tell you, I got a sous vide rig, you know, and they were pretty expensive when they came out, 2008, 2009. It was like a whole thing. But now they have these sticks that are really affordable. You just stick them in a pot. So sous vide is when you cook something that's vacuum sealed in a pot of water that is an exact temperature. And man, that just makes the best chicken, because it is really, really tender. And you can put all kinds of herbs, you know, usually a little bit of butter, and then you don't have to worry about butter burning, so the butter flavors the chicken, but it's you don't have to use oil, which is less flavorful, you know,
yeah.
so that you don't burn the fry pan or whatever.
And you don't get dry chicken.
No, it's not dry at all. It's very, very tender and succulent. It's the best way I know how to cook chicken. It takes about an hour, and I don't have, I do have a vacuum sealer. That's not the truth, but I just don't use it because I'm lazy. I just put them in a Ziploc bag, and then I take the Ziploc bag and I submerge it in the water up to the very top, because then that really makes it sealed, you know, like the water forces all the air out of the bag. And then I just let it go in the machine, and it's really, really good. So it's not pretty, because it comes out looking like, you know, a newborn baby.
Yeah, like poached chicken.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really, really succulent, really, really good. And you can, you know, if you want to, you can just slap it on a grill afterwards and get it some char marks on it if that's what you want. But it's the best way I know how to cook it.
Ah. Interesting. Well, I saw a recipe recently that had a, it was for chicken and broccoli, but the interesting part about it to me was that it had a sauce that was honey and jarred pickle jalapeno juice.
Oh, really?
And grated garlic.
Oh, my gosh.
And then
that sounds good.
And then you cook the broccoli and the chicken all together in one pan, and then you add some pickled jalapeno slices and this sauce.
And they make them tamed jalapeno so that they have all the flavor, but not none of the spice if you don't
want
that.
You know what? We've talked until it's done.
Yay! We had so many announcements. We had
so much
to say.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody,
especially
for your support.
For donating. Thank you so much. That was so nice.
Yes. Stay tuned. John Stevenson's in the house.